All right, we're meeting the team behind Async. And how are you doing, Lisa?
Great.
So introduce yourself and tell us a little bit what's going on here.
Sure. So I'm a community program manager for the VS Pro team, and we're all very excited here because we are about to release the Async CTP.
Awesome.
Which is releasing tomorrow. You're probably viewing this now today for you.
Yes.
And the Async CTP includes new language features in C# and Visual Basic. It also includes new features in the framework, and those are all being developed to help simplify asynchronous programming. That's really our goal here, to help you create UIs that can remain responsive while you're doing a lot of computations in your application, to allow you to better scale your web servers. We just see a lot of demand for improvements in this area. We see a lot of demand for folks needing to develop these kinds of applications. So that's what we're doing.
Excellent. And it's just for the managed types for now. Right?
Yeah, this release is for C# and Visual Basic, and
excellent.
We also have, you know, a lot of influence from F#, where we've also provided this type of functionality previously.
Cool, and people are going to be watching the Channel 9 videos where we go probably a little too deep with Lucien and also Mads. Please introduce yourself.
Mads Torreson, the language PM for C#.
Hi, I'm Lucien Wyszyk, the language PM for Visual Basic.
I'm Stephen Tobe. I'm a program manager on the parallel computing team.
Alex Turner, the compiler program manager for VB and C#.
Awesome.
I'm Avner Alhoni. I'm the lead program manager for Visual Basic and C#.
Excellent. So you mentioned compiler. So there's a lot amount of work had to be done in the compiler to accomplish this.
Yeah. And so, sort of all the way back, trying to figure out exactly what we wanted to do in the language, there's been a lot of different attempts at the API level to figure out what to do about async in the past. So we've had sort of the different programming models, the begin and end pattern. You might know if you do stuff with web client, there's a lot of stuff with completed events, and so the event-based pattern. So what we're really thinking here is, what can we do to improve this at the language level? What can we do in the compilers themselves to make this a better story for async?
Excellent. Well, clearly you have, because it's a very simplified model. So what were some of the, this part of this conversation, too, is just about, who you guys are, what were some of, what was the thinking going on, how did you actually end up at this result with two new keywords in the languages and iterators and VB? So that's basically just open to everyone.
So Mads might just address this best, because he was sort of driving the, for the last year, year and a half.
Yeah, I can.
Is it really that long?
No, so we've had actually a number of things going on in the company previously. We've had, as Alex said, some support for asynchronous programming in the framework for years. It's just been very hard to use with no language support. We had F# come out recently, and it's been in flight for a long time, also with public CTPs and so on, with an approach to asynchronous programming that kind of addresses some of the control flow issues that are there in a manner very similar to what we do. So there's definitely been this sort of inspiration to do something. There's also been a trend for a long time for more and more apps to deal with a lot of latency. Like any app today is connected, so you have bunches of latency-inducing things going on, and so you kind of need to get your responsive UI. You need to do something better than have your UI thread blocked for 10 seconds, staring down some pipe, waiting for something to come up while you can't move your window. So motivation is there. This specific thing started about a year and a half ago, and I think really what put us over the hump was the MVP summit that year, where our MVPs, C# and VB MVPs, came to us and were trying to rank what are the important things for us, and this came out very high. And people were using tricks with iterators in C#. There's nothing they could do in VB, and the iterator tricks were sort of full of boilerplate and bending over backwards to just to avoid having to contort your control flow. And we were kind of realizing, hey, people are really in pain here, and maybe there's something we can do at the language level. So that's where it started.
Excellent.
It's just been taken from there. It's obviously a very cross-group thing. You see, we're only representing two groups here, but obviously across the whole .NET story, inside of Microsoft, lots and lots of teams, there's asynchrony going on, and so we pulled together all these groups and talked about what's actually needed, how, what are the scenarios, what are the different technical approaches that different people are taking to boil out the best. And that's just been a process of about a year and a half now.
Excellent.
So we try to synchronize these different groups in order to provide a better solution for asynchrony.
Right.
Exactly. Excellent.
Sync on async. I can't tell you how many meeting invites have been called sync on async during this process.
Excellent. So did you get any kind of like feedback early on? Like, wait a minute, you know, we have so many things. We have the parallel task library, we have Rx, we have CCR. How did you guys like rationalize to get to this point? Was it the language? The addition to the language that made you sort of simplify, focus a little more? I mean, that's my question, if there is one.
So there's a lot that you can do at the library level, and we've seen that over the last four releases of the .NET framework, or through version 4 of the framework. Every release is, it's kind of like, you know, data APIs. You're not a new release of the .NET framework unless you have a new data API. It's kind of the same for async.
Yeah.
So we have the begin-end pattern and the event-based API. No, it's true. We're always coming up with new and better things, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we've kind of hit the limits, or realized we've hit the limits of what you can do with just library. You can have some wonderful constructs. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think task is a great representation of an asynchronous operation, and it allows you to, you know, represent an operation, hook up callbacks to it. But when it comes to control flow, you're still stuck in this callback world. And so we kind of reached this point where we realized language is really the way to take it to the next step and to make it so that synchronous programming really could be, or asynchronous programming really could be as straightforward as synchronous.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could see it in .NET 4, there were huge advancements in this area, and people are definitely enjoying the new features that they have available to them in the 2010 release now. But really what we're looking to do here is really utilize Microsoft's sweet spot, which is that we do own the languages, the frameworks, the base class libraries, and being able to really use that to our advantage, like we did in the link release, and provide a great experience and innovation across all of those components. That's what we do in the async CTP.
Excellent.
I think it's interesting too how many times we see folks continually going back to iterators, and
yes,
whatever the latest APIs are, inventing an iterator based solution to plug that into. We see that with tasks where it's only maybe half a page of code or so to write an iterator based runner, in effect, to be able to write an enumerable of tasks and you yield tasks and whatnot. But within days of releasing TPL, we saw people out there building their own iterator-based solutions to do asynchronous programming, which kind of highlights, as Mads was saying, the real benefit that the language brings to the table.
Absolutely. And I mean, you guys actually added iterators to VB, and this solution that you implemented is like what iterators are, right? Yes?
Yeah, iterators and async methods, really, at the foundation, are pretty much identical, I think. They've got identical implementations in the compilers. They share 99% of the code in the compilers. And from the high-level perspective, from the mental model that programmers have, I think they'll come to think of them both as cases of resumable methods.
It is pretty exciting to have this capability in VB now. I think it's been on the top of the feature list. Just when I go out and talk to VB customers, it's keep getting asked, when are we going to get iterators in Visual Basic?
Hey, can we tell them about the party?
Oh.
Okay, this one.
You want to know what's happening in the hallways, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, at last, we've got iterators in VB. We dressed up fancy. We got a cake. We got candles. We got swanny whistles, musical instruments, party poppers. Champagne, 15-year-old champagne from Avner, and we celebrated because we were really excited to have iterators in language at last.
And we've seen some dressing up fancy, as in bow tie, vest, really fancy.
All right.
This was a special occasion.
Very cool. And it goes back to the whole thing about coevolution, right?
Exactly.
In this case, what's very interesting is that F-sharp helped you guys evolve together because it had asynchronous workflows, which you used as, you know, motivation, or, you know, technically helped you achieve this, right? Or gave you sort of...
Well, so the relationship with F-sharp is very strong here. We ended up not going exactly the way F-sharp had done, because it was not really an option for us because of the differences between the languages. Yeah. So at the language level, F-sharp have a notion of workflows that doesn't translate well into C# or VB-like language with many more control constructs. So we couldn't really do what they did, but it was very the experience that they have, that you just sit down and write like a synchronous method, a space synchronous method, and you write async in front and plop in a few things here and there, and all of a sudden it's async. You're like, wow, that's like totally turning things back outside out, so to speak, right? In comparison to what people are used to, and that experience was what really inspired us. And we have also, like, we know F# is already out there with its own model. It's not task-based. It's based on an F#-specific type called async. But we have, the F# people have been part of this last phase of, actually, every phase of the evolution of this internally, and we've made sure that they bridge well and so on, that we've made the await feature in C# able to encompass the F# asyncs too, and we've... F# on their side are making sure that their kind of async workflow can consume tasks in a nice way. So the stories are not going to be the same, but they're going to be seamlessly integrated.
Awesome. That's great. So you already answered the question before it was asked.
Perfect.
You're great at that.
I want to jump on one thing that Matt said too. I love the outside out comment because I think we've been going around and kind of talking to groups inside Microsoft and a little bit externally about what we're doing with this effort. And sometimes people just get in like, oh my God, we want this now. And sometimes they really kind of stare at it and wonder how in the world could that work or what is that doing. And I found that the best way to explain it is to tell them to forget everything they know about asynchronous programming because it's been so hard and it's been ingrained as being so hard and you've had to invert your control flow and everything. It just doesn't jive that it could be as simple as writing a synchronous method and any space synchronous method and having it work out. So I like that.
Excellent. And so one question I would have is, what does this mean for, you know, the other type of task-based stuff? So task-based parallelism, right? Because that's still also hard. So there's asynchronous, and we had conversations about asynchronous is not the same as parallel, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Can we talk a little bit about how this simplicity may bubble up, not in a future release, because we can't talk about that, but now that you've simplified a really hard problem, hard part of the problem, there's still the other hard part of the problem, which is the multi-core, many-core, where you actually do want to do CPU-intensive stuff and you want to have threads or tasks.
Yeah.
I mean, is that going to be something that simplifies someday? Totally random question. Well, I mean, you don't have to answer it.
P-Link is pretty simple.
So
P-Link, true.
Yeah, P-Link is...
but that's...
That's sort of a separate technology for data parallelism. It integrates nicely, too. But I would say that one thing we discovered almost after releasing the task type in .NET 4.0 or very late in the game, actually, was how nice of a unifying concept it was across CPU-based parallelism and the sort of logical parallelism of the web, if you will. Yeah. Like, I can run many... requests on the web at the same time without actually running them on my own CPU. Right?
Sure.
There's no thread, but there's still parallelism. And this whole like more abstract notion of something that's ongoing somewhere, somehow, and next to my own running code, and I can synchronize with it later. That notion turned out to be a very powerful unifying concept between thread. Traditional multi-threaded parallelism or multi-core parallelism and these other concepts of outstanding operations. So I think like one of the things that the async feature helps you coordinate in the language is it helps you coordinate your thread pool tasks as well. It integrates really nicely, really smoothly.
Perfect. Very cool. So you answered the question differently than I asked it, which is good because the what I did ask really wasn't probably a question at all. But that's good. I mean, so what I'm trying to say there is you just explained why you chose task. Because I was talking earlier with Stephen about a super secret thing. Just kidding. About why, in some sense, you chose task. Now, you just mentioned why it works really well. I mean, this could have been implemented with something else. It could have been implemented with the CCR at the lowest level or, say, even RX or something. But... you chose task for a good reason. Just explained. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think, and to expand upon a little bit what Matt said, a task is sort of really a reification of the general future kind of from academic literature and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's just a representation of an operation that has a result, and maybe it faulted, or maybe it was canceled. Right? It's if you strip away the myriad of overloads that we have on task, it really is a very simple concept. Whether you're talking about task, which doesn't have a result, or task of T, which has a single result. And so that core representation and the ability to just kind of stick a result into it, stick an exception into it, and pass it along to someone else, I think makes it a perfect candidate.
Excellent. Now, I want to turn the camera this way because you haven't said anything understandable. So you're the C-sharp lead PM.
Yes.
So you're doing a lot of, you know, planning and thinking about the addition of the language. Was it hard to come up with these two words, these two new modifiers? Like, how many, what was that like?
Well, I don't know. I think that await was, we always had await in mind. I think people fell in love with this modifier, with this operator, actually.
Wait, Avner, you were saying we should call it yield until. You were very positive that it should be called yield until. I remember.
He's being a good PM.
People were,
yeah.
People.
Interesting.
Just for the record, Lucian was joking now. And then for the async, I think also we kind of go to that pretty quickly. I don't think that we had a lot of kind of gut-wrenching debates about whether we should choose a different term or word for these. And we did have debates whether the modifier should be in C-sharp or we can infer it implicitly. In C-sharp, we knew that we wanted it explicitly in VB because VB, traditionally, it's more verbose and people like to read the code and understand exactly what it's doing. And so we had one version of C-sharp where we did it implicitly, and then we looked at that and realized that it actually makes sense to put a modifier in C-sharp as well.
Interesting. So. Very cool. And so the compiler again, give me some sense of what kind of the rocket science you had to do without digging into details. So we're going to get on the, let's map out the compiler on the whiteboard real quick.
Gotcha.
Just kidding.
We need more whiteboard actually.
Yeah, exactly. So you had to do a fair amount of work to, in the end, produce IL that's going to make sense to an unchanged CLR, right?
Yep.
So this was all done. The CLR has nothing to do with this.
I mean, and that's similar to a lot of the things that we've been doing. So we had like Link and a lot of the features we've had really since generics. Generics were the first time that we had, or the last time that we had a huge thing we had to go push into the CLR to get our stuff done. So Link was mostly at the API level plus all the language stuff we did. And so this with tasks at the API level is really another thing we're building on. Really sort of in terms of a compiler internals, one of the tricky things that we've had to do has been this idea of stack spilling. And so we've had to figure out, well, it's easy to go and say, well, we're going to go and split off this operation and say, okay, you jump back in here later, similar to iterators, turn into a state machine, come back and resume. But can you resume exactly where you left off in the middle of an expression? Like you end up having, let's say, the await in the middle of A plus B plus await C, plus D, and you need to do this part, remember that when you're going on. There's all sorts of complexity that you can have there. One of the things we actually did as an example when we were first trying to figure all this out, we had some of the stream APIs that were doing operations and going down to the bottom layer, like read to end in stream reader, and saying, well, what would this look like? Could we build this with await? Could we redo this so we could actually have an asynchronous version? And when we did that, we ended up saying, it turns out this is actually doing all these operations in places where it's really inconvenient to split that out yourself, like where you count on using and and saying, oh, well, this short-circuiting is very important. I care that it's actually not going to run the rest of it if I don't need to, because that's going to go request more things over the stream. And so I need all the little individual trappings of the language to be intact. And that really requires us to know what's going on with the stack as you're putting all this stuff in place. And so we've really been getting the prototype in place, which you're going to see in the CTP when you get it, but then afterwards, we have to say, how do we get it the full language exactly supported so we have the stack spilling and we have all the expressions binding completely right?
Excellent. So CTP, that's right, CTP. CTP means don't blame us
if
something goes wrong, right?
Unity tech preview.
Excellent. So again, this is really cool, man, because a lot of people are going to be touched by this. So, I mean, how does that, I mean, does it must make you feel...
It's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, right? I'm touched by it. I've been running the earlier prototypes on my main, well, pretty much all my machines for the last month or two now, and I kind of forget that it's a new feature. I just sort of rely on it when I'm writing stuff up. And then I'm bummed when I go to a machine that doesn't have it, so I'll be excited to see everyone else how they're using it.
Totally. Which, you know, again, you're the community lead on this, and you're also involved with all of our managed languages. But in some sense, people are going to love this feature. Let's be honest, because it does really radically simplify. I mean, you can look at a piece of RX code, which I love, and then you can look at the same piece of written in with async and awaits, and it's night and day. I mean, it's much easier to understand the async stuff inside the language. You don't have to really fully understand what's going on, which is essentially what we've trained people to do with .NET in the first place.
Yeah, we should say that there are certain classes of problems where that's absolutely true. And
yes.
The kind of the sequential control flow that you get from the language is sort of made for, this feature is made for that. There are certain classes of problems where RX and you have this streaming event approach is going to lead to much cleaner solutions because it is based on a multitude of operations coming through.
Absolutely.
So they're kind of each have a really good place.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's also aligned with one trend that we talk a lot about in our language development is declarative programming and not having to specify to the compiler, like, you know, Alex is talking about exactly what the steps the compiler needs to take in order to produce this result, just be able to express, you know, more succinctly, mm-hmm. I want to await this operation. And so that's really exciting to enable that here as well, and we think that folks are going to enjoy having that kind of additional abstraction layer. And this is one of the hardest problems that people have today in development, so it's definitely a great place that we can simplify.
And that's one of the really sort of interesting things we had, like especially when we went back and talked to the F-sharp people about async and looking into what their experience was. We were designing this. The thing that stuck with me most was the fact that they started talking about, oh, well, the great thing inside the async block is you have all the imperative control flow that you're used to, like for language like F-sharp, which is so big on actually having the functional separation that they liked the fact that you were able to go through in order and specify what you wanted to happen, because you could actually wrap your mind around the complexities there much more easily. And so the fact that we get all those little details right, you actually get back for each loops and you get back if statements and things that you're so used to using that you just don't even realize you've given up when you've started rigging together 10 different methods with continuations. Having all that again in a very natural way is really awesome.
It is. I mean, there's a reason why these languages are so popular, right? VB, C sharp. I mean, we think sequentially. We think imperatively. So this is not everybody wants to do functional programming. You can understand why. So, but it's super powerful, and it looks like C sharp and now VB are really becoming hybrid languages. And so that trend will probably continue. Hybrid in the sense of, you know, link add gives you that sort of functional stuff, and this clearly gives you the asynchronous workflow stuff. But
we've got some dynamic in there. Mm-hmm.
You guys,
that's
incredible. It's getting pretty pretty powerful.
I will say, though, that so as Lisa was saying, this is actually not a step in the direction of being more imperative. I mean,
sure.
it allows you to write your familiar imperative code, which is where all our control flow mechanisms shine.
Mm.
But it's more like a step back to structured programming, if you will. The if you look at what callback-based programming is, it's actually super imperative because it doesn't even have the structure of the control flow of the program specified at compile time, right? It specifies the control flow by wiring things together at runtime. Like, I install that here, I install that there, I install that there, and this sort of emergent effect, it's almost like self-modifying code, right? It's a program writing go-tos at runtime inside of its own code. So it is, in that sense, it's enabling you to get back to just ordinary imperative code, where you only modify the state, not the program.
Excellent, man. Excellent. Well, hey, so this is a CTP. People are going to download it. They're going to want to use it, right? They're going to probably say, hey, can I ship with this? And the answer is, of course, no.
But we do want you to use it, so yeah, we're releasing this for you to evaluate the technology we put together here, the new syntax that we have, the new framework library, and yeah, we want to get your feedback. It's really the most exciting point for us. That's when it gets really real, is when it's in our customers' hands and we can actually see the code that they're writing. That's that's exciting stuff. So so we have a web page that we're putting together with all the resources, all the documentation, these videos, and that's msdn.com/vstudio/async.
Nicely done.
That's why she's the community PM.
Yeah.
Trying to get that somewhat simple, but yeah. Wish we could go a little further. But anyway, we do have a forum there, and we are really excited to be able to hear from folks on the CTP, see what they think about it, and give us feedback.
Absolutely.
And Abner over here has gone gray trying to put together a really nice install experience.
Yeah.
So you would be personally insulting him if you didn't go in.
So let's talk about that a little. What did you do?
Well,
Oh, so was it kidding?
It's still a little fresh. Oh.
The wounds are still... Yes,
it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
Fair enough.
But people should be patient. Patient with the installer. It takes a while.
It takes a while.
Yes, you can. While it's installing, you can appreciate the work that we're doing.
Well, yeah, you can appreciate the fact that you can still check your email and do other things on your computer.
And it won't block the UI.
But a lot of the work, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the work and the time involved there is because you can install it onto your Visual Studio 2010.4 system and have confidence that you can uninstall it later without hurting anything. So
you know, that brings up, that's an excellent point, what you just said, right? So no one likes to have to use a CTP and then uninstall a non-CTP sort of related software, in this case, obviously, Visual Studio.
Right.
So, good work, man.
Yes.
Beautiful.
So let me talk a bit about the installer.
Let's do that.
The installer is about is implemented as two updates, one to the .NET framework and one to Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like any other hotfix or update that we release. So it will appear in the installed update section in the control panel. And then people can just uninstall it by going to the updates and uninstall that, and it will revert Visual Studio to the original place that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we also made sure that subsequent releases, such as if we will release new updates or SP1 or whatever will come in the future, will be able to install on top of that, and you'll get the same experience as any other updates.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, this is why also the installer takes a while to install it.
So
it can do it right.
Yes. It took me 20 minutes.
That's not bad.
It's coming.
When you say a while, I mean, we have products that take a while.
Excellent. Well, hey, great to talk to you and to actually see the people behind the product that we usually don't see. And it's, you know, congratulations. This is a step in the absolute right direction.
Thanks, Charles.
Thanks.
Thank you.